Welcome to the Nova Churches podcast. We are a vibrant, dynamic, multicultural church in Alexandria, Virginia. Join us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, go to www.thenovachurch.com. We're excited to share this week's message with you. God bless.
Amen. So thankful for knowing that the Lord is for you. God is for us. Who can be against us? Amen. Thankful for knowing that He is for me today and that He can not only just be for me, but He is for me in every situation. And say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Say amen on the chat, on Facebook. Very excited about services. We get ready to turn towards the word of the Lord. Before we do that, want to give a couple announcements just to get on the same page. First and foremost, shout out to all of our groups for having our groups this week, Nova Groups, and encourage you that if you are not in part of a group, please let us know and we will get you on the groups. And as a part of that, we definitely want you to be connected even in the middle of the week in a time of devotion. So, and very, very thankful. A couple shout outs. Thankful to our tech team, specifically Brother Kerry Humphreys, who's done a remarkable job on all of the fun stuff. He has spent about 9 hours with me live testing this week. Some of you have jumped on and seen us testing. And also Brother Jordan Nash, who spent a lot of time researching and working on solutions as well. And this week, I know they have put in a lot of hours to continually work on our multi-cam setup and our changing of things and getting the words on the screen. And we're getting a lot closer to where we want to be in every endeavor. And so thank you to our tech team. And also special shout out for our website. We have finalized our new website. Sister Steph Thomas and Sister Danielle Saul have done a tremendous job. And if you have not gone to our website, www.thenovachurch.com, we have kind of updated it and got it up to speed and made it a little more clean and concise in some of the things. So if you have not checked out our website, go do that and tell them that you're thankful for all that. And then next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We are excited about Palm Sunday, and we are going to do communion, and I would encourage you to invite a friend digitally to join us. We are distributing our communion supplies, and so if you have not gotten a communion supplies, please reach out to us and let us know. Reach out to your group leader, and next Sunday for Palm Sunday, we will be taking communion, and so we're excited about that. Amen. Let's go to the word of the Lord this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 and Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Now, as you're turning to that, I want to encourage you to participate in the chat. And last week, if you missed last week, you can catch that on the podcast. You can catch that on our YouTube is where we're posting these in post-production. Thank you to Brother Jordan Nash for working on our post-production. And please subscribe and please follow our page. That way you can get updates on when we post those things. But today I want to encourage you to not just watch, but to participate. We want you to be locked in. And so if Pastor says something you like, write it in the chat. Say amen, give a wave, give a heart, give a smiley face, give something, give me a hands up on our Zoom chat, on our Zoom churches, our house churches. Give me a thumbs up, give me a clap as I'm seeing your interaction in all of our house churches. And we want you to definitely be engaged. So get your Bible, and I would encourage you, if you are not, this is a great opportunity to get your Bible, get a pen and highlight and mark up the scriptures as pastors going to go through those things and encourage you to do that. And also, if you haven't shared and create a watch party to join some other people that are looking for a church to watch right now. Let's go into the word of the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh."
Right.
"For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Now catch this. and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Romans chapter 12 and 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Today, I want to preach to you on this subject, thinking for a change. We give a shout out to my main guy, John Maxwell, leadership guru, who wrote a book, one of my favorite authors. I've read all of his books, but as he wrote a book called Thinking for a Change, I thought, boy, that this title would fit very well in today's message of thinking for a change. Amen. Amen. And everybody say amen on our Zoom and on our chat as I see your interaction there. And I just want to say this. I can't wait till we get back together. And I can't wait to see all your smiling faces. I see some of y'all and on our Zoom, but I can't wait to see y'all in person. And I don't know if the time will come, but can't wait to give some of y'all a hug. But for right now, I'll just give you the Wi-Fi and love you from here. All right. So let's dive in. This week, you know, with the quarantining and whatnot, we were working on some things, and my wife was like, "I'm going to music practice, getting ready for today," which our worship team did a tremendous job, and so proud of my wife, and thank you for that word, being sensitive to the word of God, and make sure you give her some shout outs and love. Hey, she may start to replace me as the preacher. Who knows? I'm just saying. You know, that's how it may roll, folks. But anyway, she's doing music, and she says, "Hey, I'm going to head out." And I said, no, the kids and I, we got to go too. And so we went over, and we were over playing catch in the yard. And my daughter, Mia, who is 5, boy, she's got an arm. She's throwing the ball with me, and she's playing catch, and in the middle of this, what happened was is she when I'd throw the ball to her, she would avoid the ball and she would dodge it and she would move. And I kept saying, "Mia, don't be scared of the ball." And she'd say, okay, dad. And so she'd throw me the ball and I'd catch it. And so I'd toss her the ball back and she'd move. I said, "Mia, don't be scared of the ball." I said, "It ain't gonna hurt you." And so she'd say, okay, dad. And so I do it again. I'd throw it, and she'd act like we're playing dodgeball. I'm like, "No." And I finally decided I needed to hit her hand with it to show her that when it hit her hand, it didn't hurt. So I intentionally figured out she kept moving to the right. So I figured out I'm going to throw it towards the right and get her this time. So lo and behold, now some of y'all are like, "Man, this guy is cruel to his 5-year-old. But I was like, "Okay, you ready?" And I threw it right where she had been moving. And as she went, she got her hands up. And it hit her hand. But the reason she was avoiding it is because when I picked up the ball, I said, "Oh, this ball's a little hard." And she was avoiding the ball because she wanted to avoid the pain, because she wanted to avoid being the perception of being hurt. Mm-hmm. And it was something that was in her mind that if this ball touches me, it's going to hurt me. Even though when I did this, it didn't change the fact of the event. It didn't change the fear, didn't change the fact that I was going to throw the ball to her. She wanted to play catch. It didn't change the fact that the ball was going to come at her. Avoiding it didn't change it, but the way that she had to conquer it, it had to hit her hand. And once she hit her hand, she goes, "Oh, Dad, it doesn't hurt." And I said, "I know. I've been trying to tell you that." And then from there on out, she's catching the ball, and she's playing for the next 30 minutes to an hour. We're playing catch in the backyard. And what sometimes you've got to realize is the way to conquer it is you've got to face it. And that's what we have with fears in our lives, is the way to conquer fear is to face it. Once it hit the hand, she realized it's going to be okay. I'm here today to tell somebody that we are a lot like my 5-year-old. A thought that has told us it's going to be worse. A thought that has told us it's going to be terrible. And we've got to do everything to avoid it. But hear me. But when we face it, we no longer have to fear it. And once you confront it, then you can conquer it. Then there becomes a comfort that it's going to be okay. What we need today is a change for some thinking, a thinking for a change. The Bible tells us to take every thought captive. The thinking about thinking is that it may seem like a tall task. If you were to consider how many thoughts that you really have. In fact, researchers and neurologists have said that the person can have up to 30,000 thoughts per day. Now, some may have more than that, and some probably have less than that. In fact, I know some of you have less than that. You know who you are. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It was a joke. But what I know is this, is that if you have somewhere in that range, 30,000 thoughts is a whole lot of thoughts. How do you take captive of a thought who seemingly, when one thought can detour you, when one thought can defer everything of your day, when one thought can put you in a bad mood, 30,000 and just one thought, sometimes if you think about the right thing, it can completely make your day devastated. You can get sad. You can be depressed. You can become lonely. The thought that you embrace, the one thought of the 30,000 approximately, can completely put you on a different path, in a different road, in a different time. It could start a sad day. So what do you do when one thought could be your devastating thought? Well, there are two things actually we can do. The first is to be intentional. Somebody write intentional in the chat. The first is to be intentional. And the second is to be transformational in our thinking. You can be intentional when you let your mind be stayed on Him. The Bible says in Philippians that let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That scripture should have popped up on the screen. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. That's where you can be intentional about letting the mind of God be in you. The second is to be transformational. Transformational is by changing our thought pattern. We need to transform our thinking to change our lives. And one of our text scriptures said that when we read it in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. The battleground is in the mind. The battle is when you catch yourself believing the lies, buying into the worst, or it's like a mentality that is scrolling through the negative feed of our minds, like on Facebook or like on Instagram, the feed that you're just kind of aimlessly scrolling, and all of a sudden you come across a negative thought or you come across something that catches your attention, and then you do what? It's that clickbait. You gotta click on it, right? It's in that moment that we have to be careful not to buy in to the negative thinking that can detour us and to get us fearful. And what we find is we've got to transform our mind. Right. But transformation happens when we replace the existing information with something new.
That's right.
Thinking for a change requires us to change our thinking. Yeah. Now, Philippians chapter 4, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn there with me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 says it like this. Now, I'm going to read out of the New Living Translation, but I think that you're going to see a lot of great things come out of this. Now, when we understand, how do we have transformational thinking? How do we think like the Lord wants us to think? How do we conquer these thoughts? How do we take every thought captive? What do we do? Well, Paul in Philippians chapter 4, and you definitely want to get your Bibles, and you're probably going to get a pen and underline this and get ready to write this in some of the chat, because we're going to dissect how Paul gave us the roadmap to overcome this critical thinking, this negative thinking, this thinking that can be so detrimental. And let me just say this, nobody likes stinking thinking. Can I get a witness? Somebody give me an amen, right? Amen. Nobody likes to be around somebody that's negative. Can I get a witness, right? And somebody give me an amen on the Zoom chat, right? Somebody give me a thumbs up in all my Zoom churches, right? And nobody likes to be a part of somebody that's always talking doom and gloom and worse and bad. Right. And nobody likes the negative things. You know, that's sometimes you got to realize, if nobody likes being around you, could it be the problem's not them?
Right.
I'm just trying to help somebody out there. I don't know which camera I'm looking at of all five of y'all cameras, but here's what I know. Wherever I'm looking, you got to understand something. It could be you.
Right.
I'm just here to help somebody.
Right. Come on.
right? If you realize that, hey, you ain't got a lot of friends and nobody wants to talk to you, nobody calling you, nobody texting you, I'm just here today to tell you, could it be that what your output is actually negative and people are like, oh, I don't want to hear that. Now, I know that it may not be intentional, but maybe it's time that we be inspecting and introspective a little bit in terms of what are we saying to people?
Right.
And how do we speak? The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't necessarily stop somebody from speaking something a lot of times, but in our day, you can. Because you're self-quarantined.
Hey!
Right? You'd be like, yeah, they call me like, ignore. Not today, Satan. Deny. Right? And that's where it comes into, is that I hope that when you are having conversations, they are uplifting. Because what is somebody may be in a good space, but if we come around, we can easily deter them if they don't know how to take every thought captive. And we need to change our thinking, not just to speak it into existence and to speak positive and to speak faith and to speak life. But what we also have got to do is we've got to understand that I don't need to hear that, because I don't need to have somebody speaking into my life that is negative in that dynamic. And so we've got to dissect what this means. So Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4, says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And I say it again, rejoice. We need to rejoice always. Let me tell you something. The first thing is, you got to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in His goodness. Rejoice at His mercy. Rejoice that you're alive. I don't know about you, but there's been times this week in my prayer journal where the very first prayer is, God, I'm thankful to be alive. I am thankful I woke up today. I'm thankful I'm above the dirt, God. Every day above the dirt's a good day. Can I get a witness? That used to be my life quote. I used to tell that to people all the time. People say, every day above the dirt's a good day. I've got to get back to that, because, you know, I'm thankful to be alive today. I'm thankful for the blessings of God. I can rejoice in the goodness of God. I'm telling you, it could be bad. I may be in a bad situation, but I've got it better than a whole lot of people, that they would gladly trade some spaces with me. Can I get a witness on our Zoom churches? Give me a thumbs up. Give me a clap. Give me some hearts, if you will. But here's what I know today, is I am thankful to be alive, and I can think of things to rejoice at. God's been good to me. And even if I may not be in the best of the best places right here, right now, today, can I get a witness? There's some things I can rejoice about that God's doing in the life of other people, and God's doing in the life of other homes, and God's doing in the life of other churches, and God's doing throughout the world. I'm here today to tell you, you can rejoice in spite of your situation, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of what you're facing. You can still rejoice in God. He's been good to you. You can rejoice over things He's done in your past, and you can begin to think of your testimony. You can begin to go back to your prayer journals. And if you don't have a prayer journal, now's a great time to start a prayer journal. If you don't have a God file of where God's been good to you, you should start one and begin to remember the things that God's done when He brought you out, when He's provided in the past. Because in times like now, in times like today, I'm here today to tell you, it makes a big deal when you can go back and begin to think God's been faithful in the past. God supplied my needs in the past. God's brought me through in the past. In my darkest times in the past, I made it through then, and I can make it through now. How? Because God is good. And you can begin to rejoice over that.
Amen.
Amen.
Pastor's all fired up. Look at all the amens on my chat. There we go. Loving y'all. Right? Brother Trey Williams, I see you. Give me a wave over there. Yeah. Amen. Now, number five. Verse 5 of Philippians chapter 4 and 5 says, let everyone see that you are considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Hear me today. I don't have time to preach. Maybe I do, Brother Williams. How am I looking on time, right? Am I good still? All right. You know what the next part is? I can't see you now. You're not in the camera, so I'm going to keep on preaching on. Okay, back to my deal. Now watch this. The Lord is coming soon. You need to make sure you are right with God. If you have never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to get baptized. And there's ways we can get you baptized even today in spite of all that's going on. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you can get it today in your home, right where you are, right on your couch, right in your sofa. I'm here today to tell you that the Lord is coming soon. Yeah. And that if there's ever been something of evidence, it's, hey, things are changing. And things need to remind us that, hey, our reality that was once so true and so what we thought was right on. Here's what I'm here today to tell you is that our reality has shifted dramatically. In the last few weeks, in the last month, and dare I say, maybe even the months to come, things have changed dramatically. What you thought you could put trust in, you can no longer put trust in. What you thought you could rely on is no longer reliable. I'm here today to tell somebody that Jesus is coming soon for his church. Yes. But verse 6 then says, so don't worry about anything. How could Paul say that? Well, easily. He's looking forward to the coming of the Lord. He's looking for a place that does not perish and does not rust. And he's looking for heaven as his home. So he says, don't worry about anything. But Paul doesn't just tell us, hey, don't worry. It's like that song, don't worry. Be happy. Where's our worship team? No? That's really, really bad, okay? Now, I can't sing, but apparently that's off tune, okay? I don't even know if that is off tune. Is it off tune, our folks? Okay, maybe so. I don't know. Yep. Ooh, bad, bad, bad. All right, now, don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God. Is what the Bible says. Tell God what you need and what? Thank him for all that he has done. Not only do you need to tell him what you need to begin to thank him for what he's done in the past. And watch this. Then, everybody say then. Say then on our chat, type then. Say then on our Facebook, type then. Here's what I know. Then, once you don't worry about anything, and once you pray to God about everything, and once you begin to tell him and then thank him, I'm here today to tell you that then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. Or in the King James says, which surpasses all understanding. And his peace will guard your hearts and what? Your minds. It won't just guard your hearts. It will guard your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, he goes on to say, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Get the picture here. Yeah, that's right. Somebody said these scriptures are on fire. I know, they are on fire.
They are.
But watch this. Where's my organ? That may be coming in the future. I'm just telling you. Okay. Get the picture. Paul's just kind of doing a rapid fire pastoring and preaching and helping somebody out here. As Paul goes on to say, he says, now get this. Don't worry about anything. And yet, you can trust God. You can pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him. Then you'll get the peace of mind. But he goes and he does this. Now watch this. This peace will guard your hearts. It will guard your minds. But wait. But wait. He gives us application. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts. This is, now you can tell Paul, you can tell the Apostle Paul was a good preacher. Because this is like his five more minutes. This is his conclusion. Except this is only like verse what? This is only like verse 8. And he still has 23 verses in the scripture, right? So he's still got a lot more to say. So whenever I say I'm closing, I get this from the Apostle Paul, folks. I'm trying to be like the great apostle who's like, oh, one final thing. And then he drops about 10 other things in there. So watch how he drops this. He says, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. True, honorable, right, pure, lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Paul gives us not just the intentional way of thinking, but the transformational way of thinking. He says, no, 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 no. Don't just say, oh, I'm going to have the right mind. But then he tells you how to have the right mind by transforming the thinking of what you should be thinking on.
Right.
He said, begin to think on stuff that is true, that is honorable, that's right, that's pure, that's lovely, that's admirable, that's excellent and worthy of praise. He said, verse 9, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Now watch this. Then he says, and this is why I pulled out the New Living Translation, because I love the way he says this. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, do it. Then the God of peace will be with you. He said, put into practice. Make it applicable. Do what I have showed you to do. Follow the transformational thinking. He is beginning to say, this is how you need to do this. And watch this. The peace will be with you. Now, let me drop this like it's hot for a second for y'all. Now, you may be thinking, where did Paul write this letter from? He was probably writing it from a beach. No. I gotcha. He was watching the sunset, because everyone likes to post that on their Instagram, right? On the gram. They like to drop the sunset picture because I don't know why, because it only is beautiful if you're there. But hey, people do it, right? Oh, no, no, no. What? I know where Paul was writing this from. He was writing this while looking at the stars and the moon out in a beautiful field in a scenic Thomas Kinkade picture. No! No, no, no. Oh, wait. I know. He was out in the middle of nature like an Ansel Adams photo. No. Perhaps it was from a retreat or a resort. Maybe a chateau in the mountains. No. No. Perhaps Paul writes this clean thinking idea that we just read about don't worry about anything, but pray to God about everything. Perhaps Paul is writing this from a sabbatical where his mind is in a good place. No, no, no. Not so much, my friends. Not so fast. He's writing the letter and penning the letter from now in a Roman prison where he should be fearful. Instead, he is faithful.
Right.
Where he is facing his death. He's understanding that he is on trial. He is understanding that he very well may be at the end of it all. And he is writing this letter to the church of Philippi. And he is saying, guess what? Trust God.
Yeah.
Think on these things from the prison. He's saying, I know you could be fearful. I know there's uncertainty. I know that you don't know what's going to happen. But hear me today. He's saying, think on those things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and are excellent and worthy of praise. Hear me today. We can learn a lot. And he says, don't just see it. He said, do what I've done. Put it into practice. Hear me today. This is applicable for every person on every stream in every house today. Here, Pastor, in your season of uncertainty, follow the Apostle Paul. Think on these things and you'll have peace. And then watch. You'll be content. You will have strength that comes with a can-do attitude. Somebody say, say on, Pastor.
Yeah.
Here's what I know. I don't know what my tomorrow holds, but I do know that with Jesus, I can overcome. I don't know what's going to happen with my job. I don't know what's going to happen with my health. I don't know if I'm going to get infected. I don't know what's going to happen to my family. But what I do know with Jesus, I can do all things. I don't know what's going to happen to people I love. I don't know what's going to happen to the economy. I'm not sure. But this thing I do know, when I begin to think on God, I know that I can have strength, and I know that I can have peace, and I know that my thinking can be transformational in my life every single day.
Thank you, Jesus.
For Paul goes on to say, for I have learned, and this is verse 11. Verse 11 says this, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or everything. Paul, looking from the inside of a jail as a prisoner who at one point in his life was somebody that was in a place of prestige and power. A man that at one point could tell people to go and they went, and at one point could tell people to have someone executed and they were done. That is power. He had a place of resources. Paul did not go hungry in that place. Paul was not in a place of poverty. Paul was not in a place of this. He was in a place of prosperity. He had it good. And what we know is God changed his life on a Damascus road. And when they spoke to him, and he said, Paul, and he said, who are you? He said, Jesus, whom thou persecutest. An unbeliever transformed to a believer. Right. And it is that Paul who's now done three missionary journeys, a decade plus later in his life, of seeing churches started and seeing the gospel proclaimed, that repent and be baptized, every one of you. And seeing people filled with the Holy Ghost, seeing the miracles and signs and wonders, watching people be healed. It is this Paul.
Right.
It's this Paul who's now looking at the bars of a jail cell, surrounded in a place where he is uncertain of his future. It is Paul who says, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. For I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. And then he says the famous statement, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.
Hallelujah.
How can he do all things? Because he understood transformational thinking. He understood in the face of uncertainty, knowing that his moments were numbered, that his days could be over. Could it be that the Apostle Paul at this moment saying, yeah, I can do all things. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I've learned to be content and understand my strength is in the Lord.
Amen.
There are thoughts that lift us up. And there are thoughts that will tear us down. There are thoughts that strengthen and thoughts that weaken. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Last week I preached about Isaac and faith to move forward. We see that Isaac's son, Jacob, at a time is facing Esau after years of not seeing him. And he is worried for his life, and his brother is going to kill him. He is uncertain of the future. He is deciding, what I'm going to do is if my brother attacks me, I'm going to divide my household. So if my brother attacks here, they're going to be able to make it. But if my brother attacks here, this part of my family will make it. He said, I don't know. I am paralyzed by this fear. And the problem is fear has set in, and he is facing a raw uncertainty. And the problem with fear is it takes something that is possible, yet not in reality, but it could be. And there's just enough there that creates the possible application to create paralyzing effects. Jacob did not know what his brother was going to do. He did not know if his brother was going to kill him. Remember, he had stolen the birthright and stolen the blessing, and he ran off. He's not sure if he's going to attack him or what the outcome may be. We can relate to this story today more than ever. What is COVID-19 going to do? What is it going to do if it attacks me? Or if it attacks those I love so dearly, even the people that you give your life for, what do you do if all of a sudden it strikes you or your home? where there is no cure and you're not sure what's going to happen. This week in particular, it really began to hit me. But I realized something. In the midst of a conversation, a pastor friend was texting. And we were having a text, and I was texting a group conversation of some pastors and me and dear friends of mine. And we're talking about what we're doing at Digital Church and how we're doing this and how they're getting better. And we started talking, obviously, about how we arrived at this predicament in the coronavirus. As today, there's 662,000 cases. There's been 30,841 deaths thus far. Just in the United States, 124,000 cases and 2,200 approximately have died. In Italy, 92,000 cases and 10,023 have died as of today. That's insane. 30,000 people 2 months ago would have never guessed that in just a short blink of an eye, they would no longer see the end of this year. It's not like necessarily you could draw a line and say every single person, it has the same set of criteria. But I can imagine this is that when January 1, 2020, the clock struck midnight and it turned to a new year, little did they know or understand or think that this is going to be the year I'm dead. Little did they understand what they're going to face. And as I was reading and talking with these pastors about the cases and the amount and what's the curve look like and what do we think is going to happen in churches and how is this going to affect your church and how is this going to affect my church and what about the church as a whole and hotbeds like Seattle, New York City, Detroit, and Chicago, which one of my dear friends, Pastor Jamil, is pastoring in Detroit, and another pastor friend of mine I seen last weekend, Pastor Rima Duncan's pastoring in Chicago, friends of mine, a dear church friend of mine in New York, what do they do? And amid all the debate of the uncertainty of cases and hotbeds, then there becomes the conversation of what do we do even as Americans? Amid all the debate of health, of people, versus economic collapse of months of perhaps of a shutdown, perhaps 20 to 30% unemployment. What do you do? A CNN article I read that was shared in our group, which kind of started the conversation, predicted that in 8 weeks, the model of California, 56% of the population will be infected with COVID-19, which means 20 million people in California alone by a model could be infected. But watch what happens even when it's someone closer, like a pastor's friend who has preached for us here at the Nova Church, a prophet, Eli Hernandez, who is in ICU and who is on a ventilator. Our dear friend who I love and appreciate, and I hope that each of us are praying for him. In fact, I wonder if you would right now bow your heads and let's pray for Brother Hernandez and all those that are affected. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that by the power and authority of your word, God, you would give the doctors wisdom, God. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would touch each and every person. God, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to rebuke this sickness. God, I pray that you would give strength to every single member. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would heal Brother Hernandez right now. In the name of Jesus, God, heal every single person, God, that has sickness. God, Lord, I pray, God, Lord, give us wisdom on how to move forward. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Friends of mine who went to a conference in Chicago and now 45 or 50 people in their church is now affected because they had service together on a Sunday. It doesn't take long to find somebody that knows someone directly affected by this. But what shook me was not all of those things. It may have contributed to it, but the thing that began to shake me was an article that was from People about a 34-year-old man who went to Disney and Universal Studios, extended his vacation by 2 days. He's diagnosed on Tuesday, and he dies on Wednesday. And as I read the article, it hit me. That's me. That could be me. As that's my age. That's my similar. Looking in the mirror, understanding that he has young kids. He has a wife. He's healthy. That could be me. And I realized something, sitting on the couch in the living room, chatting with the friends. And I text this to them. I got to turn this off. I need to turn off the news. I need to turn off the feed. I need to turn it off. I needed to stop. And I had to turn off the input to tune out the thoughts. Because the thoughts started to paralyze me. Am I ready to go right now? What if this happens to me? What did my family do? Where are they going to do? How's the church going to go forward? What does our church do? How do we even do this? Who's standing here next Sunday preaching to you amazing, beautiful, awesome people? As I start to worry about the unknown and be fearful, I'm worried about these things, thinking, I don't know what's going to happen. Should I get a plan? Should I create a document? Maybe a what if worst case scenario? I don't know. What if I should get a document with everything? What do I do? And as I started thinking on these things, I realized I got to turn it off. I had to turn off the input to tune out the thoughts. And I started to change my thinking. Transform my thinking. Not on what could be. Not even on what is, which are both valid. And not wrong. But the problem is it just amplified the problem. It escalated what could be to something that I do not know and I have no control over. So what I did, I started to think about the Lord. I had to transform my thoughts to what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Here's what we need to do. We need to put on the helmet of salvation. A helmet protects and a helmet blocks. We need to change our thinking by changing our thoughts. When you start to get worried or fearful, consider the source. When there are people saying, Dad's worrying about how am I going to provide? What if I get laid off? People that are hungry. People that are literally saying, I didn't realize I was going to be furloughed. People that thought that they were completely good, overnight transforms. What if all of a sudden it strikes me in my city, in my house? Should I go buy a gun? Should I go out in the middle of nowhere? Should I go find a cabin in the middle of the mountains and hide out there? Here's what I know, is that when we start to get worried, we got to change our thinking and to begin to give him glory. And think about his goodness and rejoice in the Lord and understand I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
That's right.
For I do not know what tomorrow holds, but what I do know is that you need to make sure you're right today. Yeah. Because you may not have time to transform on a moment. You may not have time to wake up and say, you know what, it's time to get my affairs in order. Church, let me tell you something. Get right and get ready,
right.
Because you never know.
Right.
And if it's ever been time, you always think, oh, I'm going to live forever. But no one anticipates they're going to die today,
right.
Or tomorrow or this week. If you have things in your heart, I'm here today to tell you something. If you have unforgiveness, now's the time to make it right.
Right.
If you have bitterness, if you have unresolved conflict in relationships, hear pastor. Now's the time to make it right.
Amen.
Now's the time to settle short accounts. If you're upset at somebody, you should call them on the phone today, this afternoon,
yes.
And say, you know, I just want you to know, I don't know what the future holds, but life's short. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're going to agree to disagree. We're going to make amends. I want you to know that you may not forgive me, but I forgive you. I'm sorry that I've even held on to this long. I implore you, I encourage you, I would do everything I can that you don't know what's going to happen to you, or you don't know what's going to happen to them. But if you have any loose ends, tie it up today. Today is the day to begin to make sure I am going to be right with God. I'm going to forgive them. And even if they've done you wrong over and over and over again, how much should we forgive them? Seven times 70 is what Jesus said. I don't know what this is, and this isn't in my notes. I'm flowing in the Holy Ghost. But there's somebody on Facebook, and there's somebody in our Zoom church where if you've got bitterness against somebody, you need to craft an email, send a text, make the call, send a direct message, do whatever you got to do, but you need to begin to pray for them. You need to pray, God, protect them. God, I pray that you would bless them. God, keep them in this time. You need to make it right today. And it's not just for their sake. It's for your sake. Mm-hmm. It's so you can be right.
Right.
For how can we ask for forgiveness if we have not forgiven?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where this comes to, is that we need to make sure that we are all in line with what God wants us to do. As we close today, in Psalms 56, David has been seized by the Philistines, and he starts to become afraid. He is now captured. And in Psalms 56, 3, 4, 10, and 11, we find that David is fearful. He has conquered a giant. He has overcome the criticism of his brothers. And instead of focusing on the fear and the unknown and the uncertainty, instead he sets his vision on his Lord and Savior. In the midst, he praises God, and his word to him was, "Fear not." He puts his trust in the Lord. And he says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. For what can mortal man do to me?" Amen. Right now, right where you are, on all of our Zoom groups, in our churches, in our house churches, in our Facebook, all of our viewers on YouTube, I wonder if right now you would begin to close your eyes, bow your heads, and right where you are, I want you to begin to make an altar. And Nova Church, I'd like you to begin to close your eyes, and I wonder if you would just lift your hands of some sort. And I wonder if right where you are, you will begin to pray, begin to say, "God, help my thinking." Whatever you're facing today, if you're facing fear, I want you to begin to say, "God, I'm going to take authority over that. I'm going to take that thought captive. And I'm going to declare in the name of Jesus right now that, God, whatever it is that you need and whatever things that you are, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would begin to move. And I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would begin to touch each person. And Father, I pray right now, God, that you would begin to let us overcome. Lord, for I trust in you. I will not be afraid. I trust in your word. I trust, God, of what you're going to do. God, I think on these things. I think on things that are lovely. I think on things that are pure. I think on things that are right. I think on things that are excellent. God, I think on things that are lovely. That, God, I know you're going to do it again. God, if you did it in the past, you're going to do it in the future. And God, if you did it yesterday, you're going to do it today. And God, I don't know what tomorrow may hold. For you said in your word that life is but a vapor. But Jesus, I pray right now that people would have peace. Just close your eyes right where you are and begin to say, "God, in the name of Jesus, help me today. God, help me to change my thinking. Help me to transform, God, what you want for me. in the name of Jesus, God, I want to make sure I'm right. If I haven't told someone I love them, God, today's my day to make it right. If I haven't told someone I forgive them, today is my day to make it right. If I haven't told somebody, God, that I'm sorry, if today's the day, God, I need to let it go. I don't want to be, God, in a place, God, of uncertainty when I know the thing I can control is to be right with people and to be right with you, to be baptized, to repent of my sins, to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that, God, you would help us today. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you would begin to move in us, God. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us, God, to be transformed to your image, God, to give you glory. That, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, for we do not worry. For, God, we set ourselves on you. For, God, I pray, God, that we know you're coming soon. And we do not worry about anything. But, God, we pray about everything right now in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done. I pray right now that you begin to tell him what you need. He's a God that will answer. He's a God that will meet you. Begin to tell him right now. Say, God, in the name of Jesus, you know what I need, God. I may need a financial miracle. I may need a healing, God. I may need you to touch my friend. God, I pray in the name of Jesus right now. But God, I thank you for what you're going to do. God, you've done it in the past. You've done it for other people. And God, then I will experience your peace. In the name of Jesus, God, give me peace that passes all understanding. Give me peace, God, that goes beyond. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we give you glory. You've never failed me, oh God. That's it. Just close your eyes and let this worship song be your altar. Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Knowing the battles.
Lord, I thank you today, God. Oh, Jesus. God, you've never failed me. God, I trust in you. Oh, we love you today, God.
Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
Oh, God, I thank you for your faithfulness right now. That's it, all of our Zoom churches. I wonder if you just lift your hands and worship. Oh, thank you, God, right there. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Oh, we worship you, Jesus, God. Oh, Lord, we lift you up today, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, oh God.
I know the night.